So Maxim Puys now and Stephen Mottingham, if you'd like to come up onto the stage for the next presentation.
J'ai un petit mot pour Maxime. Donc il est docteur en
So Maxim's PhD from Grenoble Alpes University, researcher designing security building blocks for Internet of Things in industry. And so over to the two of you. So the system we're going to be presenting to you is part of a large-scale project which consists in making a demonstrator and test platform for industrial systems cybersecurity. So the first part of the presentation is part of a virtualization system which we're going to be presenting to you. So I'll just quickly go over the industrial control systems and more general applications, and then present our simulation system for hardware in the loop. So very quickly, industrial control systems are systems whose aim is to operate and control physical processes, and there are a number of elements, project processes from sensors and actuators interacting in real time with those higher up in the software hierarchy. So PLCs, which will also be communicating in real time, not quite so critically, with a guaranteed response time. And then above that, there will be IT elements, data acquisition, supervision, which is more traditional IT, plus perhaps roaming clients that may connect remotely. So there's quite specific architecture is used here when in the upper layers it's conventional IT technology, and this forms what we now refer to as a cyber physical system. But all of this is involved in communications and the physical dynamic. So in terms of cybersecurity, there are some specifics. Firstly, the aim of cybersecurity is availability. In other words, we have cases in which the industrial systems are maintained in production even when attacks are going on. Another delicate issue is non-repudiation of legitimate commands. These may be legitimate, and this may be critical. So data flows which are exceptional, which may set off, which may trigger emergency stops or alarms, we must not block them because they were not in the learning test set. So real-time properties are also very important because the proper working of processes depend on the response time from I&C. And the reaction time to attacks is very short because attacks targeting the process will damage, affect the behavior of control loops. So we are familiar with recent events that showed that there are attacks which are specifically targeting physical processes through SCADA communication networks. So you know the classic cases, Stuxnet, etc. And then look at physical process dynamics. There is a classification of those, which is quite important for what follows. So firstly, we have what we call event-based systems. These are manufacturing or PLC-controlled sequential systems, and time-based systems, in other words, processes. So, for example, regulation, electricity, transport, and distribution. We need to build a sandbox with genuine hardware. Firstly, because this is a world in which just about everything is proprietary, so we cannot effectively reproduce the behavior of a PLC virtually. Manufacturers can do it. There are digital twin technologies, which allow us to replicate behaviors, but it is not as yet on the market, this technology. So communication protocol stacks are not free open source either. There are standards, but there are many undocumented features added by manufacturers, so this cannot be reproduced in simulation. And then there are embedded operating systems, which are also proprietary. And of course, research will never, academic research will never have access to a real SCADA system because of issues of industrial secrecy. And even if we do, you can't do security tests because you there's obviously a real life risk. So if you want to work on data sets, there aren't many on the internet to use. And it's often very academic use cases that are rather simplistic with just one or two PLCs and a supervisor, which is why we had this project to build a SCADA sandbox, which is of virtually industrial scale. So we want this platform to be open, so free as in accessible, not free as in beer. So multi-protocol, multi-vendor, and not limited to a single application, and pretty much industrial size. Well, you could argue about what that means. We decided that that meant some 100 connected devices, and the platform obviously had to be pen test proof. In other words, no physical processes involved, but an approach to hardware in the loop simulation, and this to be done at a reasonable cost, because there are off-the-shelf hardware in the loop systems, but they are very expensive. Very quickly, you have the 40,000 euros per measurement with eight sensors. It's rather expensive, whereas we're looking at over 1,000 simulated sensors. That is kind of the psychological barrier that we set ourselves. We'd also like this to be platform to be remotely accessible. So what we want is for the physical process to be replaced by software which will replicate its behavior, and the sensors will be replaced by electronic devices that will supply genuine fake sensor input. So genuine sensor input, but supplied by electronic card. So we've developed a bespoke electronic interface card, which can simulate 24 sensors and 24 actuators. These are not magic numbers. The only consideration is the number of analog outputs required to simulate sensors in an electrical grid. So this is the photo of the card. It's very simple. It's quite small. Costs less than 500 euros, so we're on target. It's quite good timing performance, response time of less than 10 milliseconds. And if you look in our paper, you can see that on average, our response time is about 2 milliseconds. It can be chained. We have a network card, so we can add as many cards as we wish. And we've developed our applications. Firstly, the system has been used in university settings. Here are some students struggling with the simulation platform. We've developed also manufacturing industry applications, and also applications with respect to smart grids. In terms of cybersecurity applications, we have one use case, 70 inputs outputs, which corresponds to a process known in literature as the Tennessee Eastman process, sorry. This is practically the only use case which exists in the public, which is accessible in the literature. This is for a chemical, US chemical industry architecture that was published in the 1970s. It's not quite the same as this. There are a number of variants of this conventional case. This is the one that we have, the variety we've adopted from the literature. The process is simulated in Python, interfaced with our electronic interface cards, and then with the actual control INC devices, but PLCs in this case, with a genuine IT architecture with data collection service and supervision service. We've studied protocol attacks such as malevolent command injections onto PLCs to validate detection algorithms funded by DGA in France. There are applications in smart grids. 61,850 is the number in the electrical substation. This standard requires three communication protocols in a substation. Firstly, communication protocol used by the sensors. And these are referred to as standalone measurement units, and they broadcast voltage and other data. These are used by the relays, protection relays, and they will also talk with status changes. And then there's the supervision, which is TCP/IP protocol based, to recover information from the controllers. In this architecture, the specific feature is that the current sensors actually supply amperages, and the voltage centers supply voltage, which are not compatible with our card. So we've developed two other power cards, which are interfaced with the electrical grid simulation card and provide appropriate signals for the smart grid measurement devices. These have been used for cybersecurity applications, in particularly false event injection attacks in communications network, or false measurement injection, and also for resilient architecture developments. This was presented here in 2015. And so now I'll hand over to Maxime. So I will say a few words about the simulation aspect and looking at how we can reproduce a nuclear power plant in Python. At the bottom of this layout. So firstly, we need to look at the needs for a simulator simulating industrial processes. Firstly, it needs to be generic so that we can basically reproduce any type of industrial process, be it chemical, power distribution, and it can be adjustable, customizable. Second need that we have not yet developed is to have quite fine-grain modeling, looking at specific details on the physical working of a valve or a sensor. We are looking particularly at being able to communicate with the environment, in particular the interface cards, which Stefan just described. And if there is no interface card, then we could use different protocols, or also have interfacing with SQL databases and APIs, etc. And depending on the type of platform, it could also be with GPIOs. And this means also that with the requirement of being able to operate on various types of architecture, Raspberry Pis or desktop PC. We looked at existing simulators. There are many of them. Most are there to predict productivity. The simulator is very specific. So, for example, to chemicals, you describe your own chemical factory, and the system will explain if you use this, put this tank at this area, you can at place, you can produce more or less. But there's not actually any communication. Then there are Modbus servers that can communicate, but they have no application logic, so we don't know what we're dealing with. It's just a generic server which populates the data in a repository and then does stress tests on the system. There are good alternatives, but they are proprietary. They are extremely expensive and very difficult for researchers and students to customize. And then we have open source alternatives that do everything, but the only two have been abandoned for several years now. So we wondered about using them again, but the implementation options were rather difficult for us, so we preferred to take a clean slate approach. And so our simulator is Python based. Each component, whether it's a valve or a furnace, has a Python class which implements a method call which loops infinitely, and this will take the current status of the system and see how it will change and thereby change the value. And we also have a main Python process which instantiates each component as many times as required. If there are 10 valves, then I'll instantiate the valves 10 times. It will also allow these components to communicate. If I have two valves which communicate with a tank, then I need to make sure that the output from valve 1 in Python is the input of the tank, and so on. And lastly, all these objects need to be scheduled through a SIMP Python model on the same clock. And we also handle communication with the outside world, be it access to interface cards, as we saw Stefan presenting to us, as well as SQL databases, APIs, Modbus, and so on. So if we look at the needs that we just looked at in terms of genericity, we have Python classes. This is quite difficult to put together, but there is no actual limit. In terms of fine-grained modeling, we're Python-based, so technically we can be as precise as a Python module. But our priority is really communication. If a valve is open or closed, that's really what we need to know. In terms of communication, we have implemented UDP to talk to the interface cards. And if we don't have a real interface, we can implement a type of Python class which will reproduce the behavior of an interface card. Plus a Modbus TCP server, which will be able to talk to actual hardware. We use TCP for the Modbus server. We can also access real GPIOs through Python RPA GPIO modules, and then a REST API which can save and load variables in a MongoDB SQL database to be displayed by the system. And so that we can run this on any type of system, Python is quite compatible, but to be even simpler, we've put Docker containers which can run on any type of system. This is a bit of code. I won't go drill down too deep into that, but on the left you have a component, a valve, with its process method of the infinite loop. And on the right, the main Python script, which instantiates the valve and a function which will change the inputs and outputs. If you have any questions, I can come back to the nuts and bolts, and I'll hand back over to Stefan to conclude. The demonstrator has achieved the stated objectives. We have over 100 devices connected of different kinds. So the PLCs, HMIs, RTUs. We have over 1,000 virtual inputs and outputs. About 20 various OT servers. We have total investment of over 1 million euros, including donations from industrial partners. And it's VPN accessible, so every year I demonstrate VPN channel attacks. We have a network monitoring infrastructure. This workbench serves for two major cyber security projects in the Grenoble area. We were at FIC in 2018 and 2019, published a number of public data sets, including attacks per Skido. And we have a public system architecture. The PCB design is publicly available. We have drivers for process simulators for home I/O and factory I/O. And the next level is to interface a full-scale SCADA cyber range with a TCP/IP simulator in an NSNAM simulated IT network to enrich the network infrastructure aspect, and this will also be marketed, interfaced with digital twin type technology to address our project website and the Git, where you can log on anonymously for card manufacturing data, embedded software, benchmarking, test and interface software. So all of it, this is Creative Commons licensing, so help yourselves. Thank you, Stefan. Thank you, Maxime. And we'll hand over to the floor for any questions or comments. Afternoon, everybody. Thank you for this very interesting presentation, which shows that great things can be done in an academic environment and do so with an open source solution. My question relates to the choice of UDP for the communications. Why did you choose UDP protocol? Is it because it's going to last? Or is it because you're thinking of upgrading to more secure? Well, these open software, so you can implement it, so there's no problem there. And the reason for UDP is that I don't want to manage TCP connections, so we're looking for something simple, effective, and it's more in real time than TCP/IP. We didn't want a complicated embedded server or to modelize machine state, TCP machine status. We just wanted a query and an answer, and that would be it. So it's simplicity and effectiveness. There isn't even a card on card operating system. Everything is programmed on the chip. And in addition, the overall industrial system architecture is that, as well as the PLCs, that it is basically electrical signals. And so we have a real industrial system. And the simulator has a Python script that talks with the interface card. So we've installed a protocol between the two, but there wouldn't really be any attack at that level. And recently I've interfaced some 100 cards with the same network clients, so I need to handle all of those connections, and it's easier to do that if we can send the data directly. Another question. Not as many questions as this morning. Down here on my right. Thank you for your presentation. My question is about modeling sensors and the data sent back from the simulator. Have you audited actual companies, or have you just used the Tennessee Eastman model? Well, the main objective is to be able to put anything in as an example. We have a number of projects. The one that Stefan is developing, clearly we want to implement Tennessee Eastman, which is the only process for which specifications are clearly open source. We have an internship for that, which will be launched by next spring. And we've also carried out all the tests on a scenario in another project. But we have not implemented individual company scenarios. The use case we've one is an Atomic Energy Commission internal use case with rather specific industrial systems which we are attempting to simulate. Any more questions? We have a little time. On the left, my left. Can you tell us more about the scalability of your solution? 2,000, 10,000, 100,000? You know, a national scale simulation. Could we imagine doing that? Well, some figures are present in our paper. 100 is really straightforward. Several thousand. I can't do that with a single client, so I'm realistic. But several thousand cards would mean simulating on one computer, one processor, all these processes interfacing with 40,000 input outputs. I think that would be distributed simulation in which different parts of the process are simulated on different computers. And you need to handle the data flows. I have a dedicated LAN to communicate with the cards. Of course, there's no miracle solution. We have to optimize somewhat. It is not a silver bullet. So thank you to the two of you.